It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. This was the week that shook American capitalism. So wrote the Wall Street Journal in its coverage of the dramatic fire sale of the once mighty investment house Bear Stearns. At the end of this rocky week, we begin a series of occasional conversations on capitalism and the economy with Robert Rubin. He made his name on Wall Street as the head of trading at Goldman Sachs and went on to be Treasury Secretary. He now chairs the executive committee at Citigroup. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
A dramatic events this week. Do Americans have a right to be angry with Wall Street for helping to create this mess?
People may be angry, and if they're angry, maybe in some sense it's warranted. But I don't think it's the point right now. What happened is we've had a cyclical downturn in the credit markets, exacerbated by a host of other factors, including massive use of financial engineering, AAA ratings for some of the mortgage securities that were at the heart of this problem. Put it all together, and we've had something that is really uncharted waters in terms of our capital markets.
Are financial markets too complex?
30 years ago, you could buy stocks, you could sell stocks, you could buy bonds, you could sell bonds. Today, there are a massive array of very complex instruments to try to combine the risk-reward characteristics of stocks and bonds in all kinds of different ways to better suit individual investors. And on balance, I think that's contributed to the well-being of our economy and our financial markets under ordinary circumstances. The problem is that under unusual circumstances, I think it can increase the risk. And I've thought for a long time and think now that the very point that you're raising, which is how should we think about all this complexity in a policy sense and in terms of the risk it creates, is something that needs to be looked at very carefully and has not been.
Well, let me just be specific about one thing that everybody's looking at this week. The Fed took a very dramatic step. For the first time since the Great Depression, it decided to lend money to investment banks. Does this mean that the government would continue using taxpayer dollars to help Wall Street financial firms get themselves out of trouble?
I don't think a nickel should be spent to help financial firms for the sake of helping financial firms. But I think where you do have to focus is to deal with the credit markets where you think there is a risk that that can affect the economy and therefore affect very large numbers of Americans. This is very much a Main Street issue, not a Wall Street issue. The trouble is if there are problems in the credit markets, if credit extenders aren't willing to extend credit and mortgage availability dries up, that affects vast numbers of Americans. And that's what all this is about. By the way, the Federal Reserve Board offering to lend to investment banks. The Federal Reserve Board isn't taking that risk. The risk still lies with the investment banks.
Although, are they not, is the federal government not guaranteeing, certainly with Bear Stearns?
Bear Stearns is a different matter. Bear Stearns, the federal government put up, in effect, as a backup for $30 billion. And I think they were right to act, at least conceptually they were right to act, because what they were afraid of was that Bear Stearns would collapse over the weekend. And that is absolutely a mainstream America problem, because if that happens, credit dries up, mortgages are not available, and it could very substantially worsen whatever set of economic conditions we're experiencing.
Have Wall Street firms opened themselves up now to greater regulations?
I don't know if there'll be regulation of the firms. I think what we should do is to look at what happened and see if there are measures that we should put in place that would reduce the risks going forward. But I think it's extremely important in designing those protections to look for the optimal balance. Your objective is not to eliminate risk, because if you eliminate risk, you're also going to eliminate the markets. What I think is for mortgage-backed securities, for options of all kinds, and for this whole array of complicated instruments that have come to pass, we should seriously look at the question of whether there should be margin requirements of some sort, just like there is with a stock today. If you buy a stock, you have to put up 50 cents on the dollar in equity. And that regulation came out of the Great Depression because people leveraged themselves enormously prior to the Great Depression. And that enormous leverage was thought of as being one of the factors that led to the Great Depression.
People were putting up 10 cents on the dollar.
In the 1920s, absolutely. They were buying stock and putting up 10 cents of their own capital and then borrowing 90 cents. And when the stock market had difficulty, you very quickly wiped out that equity, and then that forced liquidation because debts had to be paid, and then that fed on itself, and you got a vicious cycle. And I think what we need to look at is there some analogous problem here?
Can you regulate greed?
The answer to that question, in my opinion, is no, and I think that's exactly the right question. I always thought to myself when I ran trading rooms that you were maintaining a constant balance between greed and fear. And what seems to happen in financial markets is that if you have good times for a while, then greed, if you will, seems to take over, and participants weigh the risk less and less heavily as they reach for return. And then after a while, you get excesses in the financial markets, and then that leads to a periodic downturn. I don't think you can regulate against human nature. But what you can do is try to put regulations in place that will limit the effects of these aspects of human nature. But in doing that, you really do have to maintain a balance so that you don't smother the benefits of a free market financial system.
Robert Rubin, thank you very much for joining us.
You are more than welcome.
Former Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin is chairman of Citigroup's executive committee.